Yo, what up? My name is Kedrick, but my friends call me Ked. All my life, I've struggled with being overweight, but in April 2019, I had VSG surgery. In just over a year, I've lost over 200 pounds, and it has been one hell of a ride, to say the least. Tune in as I share my journey with you, along with the journeys of some phenomenal people from the weight loss community. Hey man, I'm just a fat kid who loves cake and classic hip hop that happens to now be sleeved, believe the hype. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is your boy, Ked, and welcome to another super dope episode of the Sleeve Believe the Hype podcast. And as always, y'all already know what it is. I got super dope co-hosts with me today. And you heard it right, it's plural. I got two people with me today. These two women are phenomenal in the community, and they just launched a brand new podcast that's dedicated to the weight loss journeys, just like myself. And I think that is so needed, because we need many, many more voices in the community to spread this wealth of knowledge, because no one person has all the answers. And the name of that podcast is the Hold Up Weight Podcast. So I definitely want y'all to go check that out wherever you get your podcast fix. And I'm going to introduce these ladies and stop running my mouth. So without further ado, the ladies of the Hold Up Weight Podcast, I have Britt and Sam. What's up, ladies? How y'all doing?
Hey.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, absolutely.
So good to be here.
Hey, it's good to be here, and it's good to be alive. That's what's important.
That's, you know, right. What I'm talking about? That part.
That part right there. So let's kind of jump into the formation of the podcast, because we've had a conversation off the record, and we kind of talked about a few things of how it is and the importance of seeing people like us of color to represent in the weight loss community, because it's very, you know, far and few in between. There's not a lot of us out here. I mean, it's a lot of us out here that are doing the surgeries, but it's not a lot of us that are out here sharing our wealth of knowledge with everybody else that's just like us. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a racial thing or anything like that, because you got to look at the dynamics of Black people and the way our health is. And we have conditions that are different from people of other races. So it's great to have those resources. Now, it's great to get information from anybody that's out here on a weight loss journey, but it's nothing like getting information from somebody that's just like you, that has the same type of dynamic and could be going through some of the same things. So definitely let's talk about it. Let's jump into it.
Kind of exactly what you said. We weren't seeing what I am 6 months out, and in doing my research for the sleeve, trying to look up people who maybe had YouTube or support groups, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me that were giving advice. And not that I couldn't trust their advice, but I just trust someone that looks like me and has similar experiences to me. I just trust what they would say. So that was a need that I saw, and I would call Sam and ask her so many questions. That's kind of how we got in. So maybe we should do a podcast, because I was asking her things that, you know, I only talk to my doctor, you know, once a month to check in for the pre-op stuff, kind of, you know, to get me prepared for surgery. But I would call her, you know, every other day asking, you know, what happens with this? And, you know, what can I eat? Or, you know, do you think I'll be in pain? Even though our situations were different, but it was still things that I just only felt comfortable asking her, because I didn't see anyone that looked like me that was talking about it.
And then to piggyback off of that, so my experience was completely different than hers, because I am 5 years out. So it wasn't, you know, as big at all as what, you know, your podcast or anything else like that. Even with us creating, there was no one for me to go to. And then even the Facebook groups, they were judgy. Like, if someone asked, could I have a Coke? It was like, oh, hell, all hell is broke loose, because you asked about having a Coke, even a Diet Coke. It just wasn't where you could have those unfiltered conversations. And so for us, it was, how do we create that inclusive, non-judgmental environment for people who are going through any weight loss journey, specifically, of course, VSG, because that's what we've gone through and that's what we can speak to. But if you're going through any journey, it's a transformation overall that you have to go through mentally, emotionally, like all the things that come with it. So we want to create where you can ask a crazy question and we gonna talk about it as your friends.
Absolutely. Now, when did the podcast launch? And let's just kind of talk about some of the episodes that you've released so far.
Our first, that June 1st. Yeah, we released our first episode. And so far we talked about the pre-op diet. We talked about some things that got us to be fat over 600 pounds combined. And then what
else? How many pounds combined?
We were over 600.
600. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just about us in general. And then our next episode that we're going to talk about is on dating. So whether how it's navigating through dating after having weight loss surgery, or just the world of dating anyway, because it's the ghetto. So like, what are we experiencing? How do you go through all of that?
Because you got this, you are married, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So you were married when you, so you didn't have to go through, your wife already loved you. So,
yeah,
you know.
For, look, I did, she was doing me a favor for all them years by putting up with the, you know, the behemoth that was me. So now I had to go back and return the favor and do her a solid and bring it down a notch so I can be a piece of arm candy now. So she like, all right, I'll go out in public with you now.
So navigating that, being single, I mean, you know, going through a weight loss transformation and trying to date and you can't really eat, all that, we talk about that. That's going to be coming up on Tuesday when we release the next episode.
Now, I can imagine that really, really has to be tough, especially during a pandemic. If you're single, then you're trying to maintain and be on your journey. And then at the same time, trying to navigate dating. I can't imagine how that is. And is the playing field even level now?
No. Not level.
Which are you getting throwbacks and rejects? What's the deal?
I did get somebody that hit me up like, now we talked when I was bigger, clear. You know, he was my friend, we dated, but he like, no, I might try to have to hit up Slim you now. I'm like, no, don't do that. Because at the core, I'm still the same person. I lost some weight, but and, you know, if we didn't work out before, it definitely wasn't because of my weight, you know, because my personality is still the same. So.
Absolutely. Now, let's kind of expound on that a little bit, because that's one of the things that I know a lot of people in the community are dealing with, people from their past that are surfacing now. And it's like, oh yeah, let me come holler at you. Let me back in, blah, blah, blah. But you're the same person and you've got to really think, are they really trying to reconnect with who you were or who they knew? Or are they just looking at the outside and the appearance now? And now you really appeal to them because, hey, you done dropped this weight. So now let me try to get back in. How do you handle that?
So my experience is definitely different than Brittany, because when I had weight loss surgery, I was in a relationship. We had been together for years. So the world of dating in itself is difficult navigating. I've had a few people who talked to me from back in the day that's resurfaced, like, hey, you know, I seen you on IG, you looking good, but I'm a firm believer that you attract where you are in life. Those are the people that you attract. So at that point, you know, I was attracted to you and your foolishness. That's not where I am now in life. So you keep moving. But I do it's people that also, your self-esteem changes when you drop some pounds and you feel so. Guys that I probably wouldn't have looked at or wouldn't mm-hmm. have thought that I was, that would like me, who like me now, that attention is different.
Yeah.
You know,
I like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm about to say, that's got to be a great feeling, because you got to think of our level of confidence as overweight people. It wasn't really there. And I don't care how many times, I mean, I hear this a lot in the community. Oh, I was still getting it in when I was big. But at the same time, I know in the back of your mind, because anytime you were walking, you was getting ridiculed from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Being that you were overweight, no matter how confident you were. I mean, because I felt like I had a fair level of confidence, but at the same time, I could put on as well. You know, I could mm-hmm. go out there and put on with the best of them, but then deep down, I was be feeling it. You know, and I would get caught up in that.
And I wonder, is it, I would think that it would be, well, maybe because I am a woman, that it would just be harder for a man than it is. I feel like we have, you plus size specific boutiques and, you know, clothing stores. And, you know, even when it comes to lingerie, I don't know that you have, do men have that advantage, see?
I was one
of those plus-size people who was very confident. Like, of course I have my insecurities. I have the, you know, even now after the surgery, but I was very much, you know, always talking to guys that, you know, society would think were also attractive. That was who I talked to. That's who talk to me, you know what I'm saying? So, but I do think it's much easier for an overweight woman than it is an overweight guy, because society kind of, they don't cater to us by any means, but they make it so we can navigate the world in the bedroom much easier to me than I think they do for men.
Yeah,
you know, I would never really looked at it like that, but I think that you really hit the nail on the head, because you're right. There is no room for a big man to be sexy, period. And then it's the feeling of inadequacies for a bigger man, because then there's always the age-old question, does size really matter, and all that stuff mm-hmm. that comes as well. So it's the feeling of inadequacies for one, and then not being able to be put into a place like women can go and get lingerie, even size woman can go and still find stuff like that, but it's nothing out there sexy for a big man, period.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got on a old t-shirt and the boxers
no.
and it just ain't really happening. Ain't no sexy at all.
Yeah,
no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
they got whole costumes and whole
set, everything.
You
know, yeah.
Yep. Whatever you're looking for, if you can find it in, you know,
five, six X as a woman. Like, it's not a... You can, yeah.
The most a man can probably do is hit up Walmart or somewhere doing Halloween.
No, not Walmart. I need you not to be hitting up Walmart.
I'm just saying, that's what's only available. You can only find bigger type costumes maybe during Halloween, and it might be something like for a fat character. That's what it would be.
Not a fat character.
So, yeah, so I'm coming in the bedroom looking like Barney and shit.
No,
that ain't sexy, right?
That's not sexy.
Not bringing sexy back with that. Uh-uh. Yeah, no.
So yeah, so I could really see that, and because women don't, there aren't, and it's not to say that, you know, it just is what it is. There is no level of comparison for that, because you know the body is different for men and for women.
Uh-huh.
So women don't have that thing to measure up where men are saying, "Oh, does size really matter?" Most men, and when you get, especially when you get to a certain age, don't give a shit. You know, it's about getting it in at that point.
Right,
so
yeah, right. Okay.
So what? And then the only difference, I think, though, sometimes some men might, you know, behind closed doors be like, "Hey, I'm gonna be with you all day long," but I might not tell nobody. But still,
yeah,
women wouldn't have a problem like a man would, because women be like, "Nah, bro, you ain't finna come over here. Nah, we don't holler at you. You ain't finna kill me, and you know, and you damn sure ain't at the top. It ain't happening, Cap."
Yeah. So yeah. For us, neither one of us had ever
dated a big guy.
No, we never have dated anyone big. No, because I thought just what you said, how we gonna maneuver the situation if we both have
That's a lot of stomachs going on.
That's
a whole lot of shit going on, and you know, it's almost like we in a construction zone in the bedroom, because
it's too much.
We got on the yellow vest, and we got to see each other and shit, because you know, you might mess around and damage some goods and knock some shit off the shelf and all this sort of stuff. So it's a whole lot of stuff going on, and I was pretty much the same way. Even before I met my wife, I really never dated anybody that was as big as I was, because I felt like personally it was nothing against a woman that was big, that was my size or bigger. I just feel like the only thing that we was gonna be able to do is go wreck a buffet.
Not wreck a buffet, yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, because I really wonder if, you know, sometimes you see opposite size couples. I didn't know if
guys,
I did not talk to a big guy, because I would never, you know, that's just who I end up being attracted to. But if a big guy had approached me, and I would have tried it out. But I was thinking the same thing, like, how are we gonna work this out?
Well, you gotta look at it like this. This is really how you gotta look at it. because we're going to break it down for the people out there who might have the elementary mind. So you think about it in school back in the day when you had the, you know, you had the little play school thing where you had to put the pieces inside the different holes that fit that, or putting together Legos that fit. Sometimes the bigger pieces would go into the small pieces, but them two big pieces didn't match.
They didn't fit. Yeah.
That shit didn't fit. It just don't. And that's really how you got to look at it, because when it comes down to it, yeah, you can have a whole lot of love. Then, I mean, you got to you get into a car, both of y'all in the vehicle and shit. In my head, I already know how I was when I was big. I was taking up my side of the car. Then I had my arm on the armrest. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for more room. So imagine that both of us in here big, and somebody got to be able to drive. I can't have my arm like this because your ass all over on my side too. This shit just ain't going to work.
It's too much, yeah.
Yeah, it's too much. And we tore up beds and shit. You know, no, that shit just ain't going to work. No.
Yep.
Mm-mm. It ain't happening.
I think it's like, it's something that we've talked about, but just really wondering if guys actually felt the same way, or if they thought about that as bigger guys. I really don't even have any heavier friends that are guys. Like, all of them are healthy, quote unquote, and slim or things of that nature. So I'm like, but I also thought about that, like between the roles, between even a perception of, okay, they big asses out together, they belong together.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And you do see it. I mean, there are exceptions to that rule. I have seen couples that are both big. You know, you often wonder how they navigate life, because, and the thing too, you really have to really think about, all jokes aside, is that if you're talking about growing old together, for one, somebody used to tell me this all the time, you don't see bigger people growing old, and you damn sure ain't gonna see growing old together, because with that old size and that old, the more overweight, the more health problems and the more comorbidity that you up. And then over time, you know, you're going to expire because it's too taxing on the body. So two people that are both of that same size, and you think about when you take marriage vows, you say for better or for worse, and till death do us part. I mean, who's going to die first? And then even if both of you are still living, will one be able to take care of the other, or will both of us be sitting over here suffering and we can't take care of each other?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, and that's just definitely how, you know, you have to look at it. And I'm thinking, as I'm getting older, how fair is it to put that on my wife like that?
Right.
When you say, and I've said this before, when you take vows, you say for better or for worse. What that means is if unforeseen occurrences happen, if something happens, God forbid. You have an accident or something like that, and you lose a limb, or you got to be helped, taken care of, or be brought back, or the men. It don't mean that, hey, I can go out here and I can eat as much as I want and eat myself out, and just I can't get out the bed, and now she got to turn me over and wash my ass and then wipe my ass because I can't take care of myself. That doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, and I had to really think about that. I'm like, that's really selfish if I'm going to expect her, because now I'm getting too big to the point where my mobility is getting limited. So next up, you know, it starts with small stuff and it goes to bigger stuff. You know, first it's going to start with, I can't even bend over to tie my shoes up. Help me put on my clothes, and you come in and have to wash my back, and I can't, or stuff that I can't reach. Then it just goes and goes and goes until you just...
It's worse and worse. Yeah, more things.
You're just in the bed, mobile.
Right. And then
now, I do feel like you like what you like. So I do have friends that don't, you know, they love, they call it a baller belly. They love guys who are a little bit bigger. They don't care. So did your wife, when you said, okay, I want to lose weight, did she say, you know, I guess I got the don't get too small. Did she ever say anything like that? You know, did she like you to be bigger, have a belly and all that?
Actually, later on, and I didn't really find this out until we had been married a couple of years, I wasn't her type in the beginning. I wasn't her type. You know, she liked, I mean, I was tall, but I wasn't the slim, you know, the quote unquote tall, dark, and handsome. I was the tall and the handsome, but I wasn't the, you know, the slim guy. I was a big man, so I wasn't really her type in the beginning, but I guess it was just something about, you know, my personality or whatever that, hey, said, hey, this, maybe I should give this guy a shot.
Clearly so, won her over. Okay.
So that's how that was. You know, like I said, I keep telling people she did me a favor. Everybody keeps saying I'm lucky. Or, you know, or no, they keep saying that they're lucky when they see me with those cooking reels and all that. I say, oh, man, your family's so lucky. No, I'm the blessed one. And I don't consider luck at all because I don't believe in luck.
Right.
I believe in being blessed. And I'm like, I'm the one that was truly blessed in that. And because people come in now after the fact, because we've been together 22 years and they see now. They see us now. Mm-hmm. They didn't see us before. You know, all the struggles and the things that I was dealing with my weight, and then with the feeling of inadequacies and all this stuff that comes into play, because that becomes a problem in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When you're not, I mean, and she was like, no, baby, it's all good, but I wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. I feel that too. I can definitely say sometimes I think I portray what I think you mentioned earlier about the, you know, a guy can say, like, basically I'll date you in the bedroom, but we're not, you know, no one else mm-hmm. will know. I think sometimes I can put that, what I think in my head, on a person that I'm talking to, you know, like, why are we not going out? Why can't, you know, why haven't met none of your friends? Or, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's nothing that they've done. That's just what I perceive in my head, because that's right. Something that you often hear, that we can, you know, you can like a big girl, but you'll never, you know, they won't ever put us, have us on their shoulder, you know, on mm-hmm. their arm.
Right. Or even if you're out with them, you're wondering, are they ashamed of? You know what I'm saying?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of what you jump into and stuff like that. But, and normally, if the person is with you, then they have accepted everything, flaws and all, about you. That's just something that's going on in our heads.
Right.
I do think it's in our heads, but I also think the world of social media and how people define beauty makes it even harder for a plus size, women in general, but especially a plus size woman, because they're saying that, yeah, you could be thick, but it's the Kardashian thick. So you got curves and everything, but you don't have a stomach. Like, it's all these things that make you insecure about stuff that it really should be an insecurity, because to your point, if someone is out with you, they've accepted you, your roles and everything else. They find being out with you. They appreciate you and everything that you bring to the table. But what social media portrays as beauty now makes it so much harder. I think especially in now for me, even dating in my 30s. Like, that is a whole nother world of navigating and what beauty looks like. And, you know, I'm not trying to keep up with the 20-year-olds, but, you know, what somebody who is 30 and what they're showing a 30-year-old should look like, they mm-hmm. got trying to look like they 22. And that's not the reality of
that's
like,
not
yeah,
our
you
reality.
Can look good and be healthy and all the things, but it's just a way of what we've defined as what beauty is now.
Absolutely. And then you got to kind of look at it too. You brought up a valid point with social media, like the whole thing with the Kardashian factor. And with the Kardashian factor, even they are not as perfect as they portray to be. Because
not at all.
I was seeing a report a few weeks back where I think it was Khloe was mad because a grandmother or somebody snapped a picture of her poolside, but they didn't get a chance to edit it and add all the filters to it. So they was like, you know, pull it down, and then somebody
they sent out a release to have it removed from everywhere.
Yeah, they you know, and I was like, are you serious? So that is the tone that's set for the world, because everybody follows them, and I mean, I get it, but at the same time, so this is what it's come to, and so everybody's got to doctor up and use these filters and this, that, and the third, and then when you really show your true facade to somebody, you really can't be mad if they don't accept it, because they fell in love with what you put in front of them
mm-hmm.
as far as social media and everything else that was, you know, that they use all these filters. And then when that comes away, then what do you have? So you really got to give yourself a chance. And that's why I'm glad I'm really not into this game like y'all are, because you know, 20 something years ago, there was no social media like that. The internet was just really kind of
different out here now.
And that's the, you know, I had to get over myself. My wife would be like, "Fool, I didn't see you naked already. So what's the big deal? You know, I hadn't left yet. So what's the big deal?" So yeah,
I'm not going nowhere. Exactly.
So that's kind of.
But how we make a point to post pictures on our page that are not just, you know, us with filters or us, you know, just raw photos of us, even photos when we're fat, like when we were fatter, you know, back because we're still big girls, but we make sure and we put those on our feed. We want people to know this is the real us, and it's okay if whatever you got going on, just love it. Like, it's okay to look the way you look. You know, you can post this picture with your edge is not slicked down. You might, whatever you might have, you miss a nail, you got a pimp, whatever. Just love yourselves.
Well, the transparency thing is really what needs to play a part, and not just with us in the weight loss community, but just with people in general. Because I think you're being transparent with people, and then people see what they see is what they get, and they accept it, they accept it, they don't, then you move on. And I think that's very important in how things get to be portrayed. And that brings me to my next segue and going into even why we've done what we've done in getting the weight loss surgery to begin with. Because a lot of people would believe or want to believe that we're getting weight loss surgery for superficial reasons, like, oh, he wants to be fine, or she wants to look a certain way, or, you know, she's not getting the attention that she's getting, so she wants to drop all this weight so she can be a supermodel, this, that, and the third. But for me personally, it was for, I wanted to be around longer. I knew I wasn't going to live too much longer on the course that I was on.
Right.
Yeah, and that really was my decision why I made it 6 years ago. I had decided I wanted to do it, and people told me, no, don't do it. Try all the weight loss things and everything, and they didn't work. And then I had my son, and I couldn't play on the floor with him. And I said, no, this is a damn lie. Like, I can't. And boys are acting. I can't run with him. I can't do the thing. Like, that, it was some bull. I said, this is not, between my son and not wanting to take blood pressure pills all the time, being borderline pre-diabetic, you know, all of those things, it was never for me about being skinny. I'm still, I depend on the day, I'm in between a 12 and a 14, and I'm fine with where I am in my size life. Could I afford to drop more weight? Yes. Is it, do I care about it? Not really. I just want to be healthy. And I think that was, I don't have to take medication anymore in order for me to function the way that I need to. It's never about being a size 2. Also, my head is huge. So I never wanted to look like a bobblehead. Like, that was, it is. Like, that was, you know, it was never about being.
I'm in the big head club, and don't feel bad.
Listen, but you also tall. So when you 5'4" and got a big ass head, it's just not a, you.
That could be a little different. That could definitely be a little
different. Yep.
And I chose the BSG for the same reasons. You know, wanting to be around longer for my daughter. Definitely wasn't thinking about, I loved working out, but the eating aspect was just, I wasn't getting that part together. I have done a lot better since. I definitely think the stuff that they make you go through, seeing a nutritionist and, you know, just the cycle about making sure that everything is right on the inside before they go in there and, you know, taking out your stomach and tweaking things really helped me. Like, I really appreciated being able to talk to my, being able to talk to the nutritionist, being able to, having to go through this for 6 months before I was approved. I had to make a lot of lifestyle changes that I guess I just wasn't prepared for when I was trying to do it on my own. But when I knew, you know, okay, if you hit these milestones, you're going to be able to have, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I did so much better with that on the, you know, getting on my approval process. So for me, but that's why I did it. I wanted to make sure that I could be around for my daughter.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to get rid of some of those comorbidities, you know, high blood pressure. For me and my family, I have had people that, you know, have had strokes and have never been the same. That's something that's huge in my family. Yep. I didn't want that to be my case.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Sam, you bring up a great point when you mentioned like you're 6 years post-op, and you're very comfortable with where you are now. And looking at you and, you know, being at in what, size 12 or 14, do you feel like that certain people and their standards, you know how people have their standards, do you
think? 1,000%.
Do they look at you and say that you failed at what you've done?
No, I haven't had anyone, because seeing, like, you see my pre-surgery pictures, like, there's definitely, my face looks different. Like, you can tell a difference in who I am. I haven't had anyone say, you know, like, well, why aren't you a six or anything like that? For people who are immediately, like, they're proud of where I am. Okay, my own sort of insecurity play, like, I went through a whole spiral with Brittany close before we started our first episode. I was like, shit, I need to starve myself. Like, are people going to judge me? And then I had to, like, remove that. Like, she literally was like, get your shit together. Like, we're doing this for, it's a bigger reason. And that, like, helped me, like, you know, yeah, I'm proud of where I am. Wasn't wearing the size I was supposed to wear. What if I was wearing the size I was supposed to wear? I was a size 24, 26 at 5'4". Is a 14 at 5'4" probably great? No, but I feel I can run. I do yoga. I'm doing, like, I do all the things to keep myself healthy.
I have to tell her, she is my body goal. Sam, you have to understand, 14 is different on everyone. Sam looks so good. And she never took pictures. I'm like, girl, let me find the old pictures of us at the club so you can remember how far that you have come. So don't trip about, you know what I'm saying, being in the 14 and not being, having abs. No, that's not, who cares? Mm-hmm. I have to remind her, she's come so far. She's literally, at the beginning, our intro is, you are my best friend, you're my body goals. That's how I feel.
That makes me cry.
You really got to look at it. You really got to look at it like that, because you've got people out here, and Sam, you're going to have women that are going to be seeing you now, and like Bridget said, you are going to be their body goals.
Yeah.
Because some of them are going to be at 26s, 30s, maybe even bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are start there, you know, where you are now is where they're trying to get to.
Yeah. I definitely feel great about where I am now. But in the beginning, I think it's the vulnerability piece. It was a couple weeks back, and you put a post and you said something about your mama. And I literally, that's me. Like, people say ignorant stuff to me, and I'm like, you know, you can tell your mama to shove it. Like, and I have to be like, I'm putting myself out there. So I have to know that people are going to say stuff that I may not like, and they might judge where I am. But the one person that I might be able to inspire or help or be like, you know what, I can do it, that's more important than the 15 other people that I can tell to suck my ass.
Absolutely. You know what? And as I grow and more every day, seriously, because I was one that would always like to go back and forth with people about that very thing, that whole your mama thing and all that. Because growing up, you would get teased a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where I'm from. I'm from Memphis. Memphis is the king of what they call checking. And that's like the old dozens, you know, the your mama jokes and this, that, and the third. And then already having a strike against me, being a fat kid,
mm-hmm.
my guard had to be up on a regular basis, and I had to either shit or get off the pot, as my mama used to say. She didn't say the shit word, she don't cuss, but she would just say doo-doo or get off the pot, and meaning that either you're going to figure out a way to get them people off of you, or you're mm-hmm. going to be crying and coming home every day because you can't take it. So what I ended up having to do was sharpen up my skills and get swift with the tongue and be like what I like to call a verbal assassin. So I got to be so good at it that I didn't have a problem with kids anymore, except for maybe new kids who would come to the school and then they would be like, oh, he's the easy target. And then they would be like, nah, you don't know
about that. I don't want no problems with that one.
Right. And my thing is that, okay, and what I had to realize is that the most thing they could say about me was that I was fat. It's only so many times you're going to get so many laughs off of that. So what I would do, now I'm about to tell my secrets, and I really shouldn't be telling my secrets. I would watch people to pick flaws out of them. So if I saw you get picked up by your mama or your daddy, and your daddy had bifocals on, or your mama was ugly,
no,
or if your mama was fat, it was no holds barred. There was no limit to how low I would stoop to get keep you from talking about me, because my thing was that I didn't like to be laughed at. I didn't want to be embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So right. My goal was to embarrass you first, and that's not really healthy within itself.
Mm-hmm.
But being that you're overweight and you get picked on and abused a lot, that's just where it was.
Right.
Yeah.
That's something I feel like we met each other in elementary school. Our school was so small and tight knit. I really didn't go through that. Not because, of course, now I did have people that say, oh, you're, but we were like, I mean, popular for what it was. You know what I'm saying? With no one really, you might have heard that one time, but you know, all our other friends, like, what you talking about, Brittany? You talking about Sam? Like, what? That just wasn't something that I really had to go through, because our school was a Lutheran small school, private. So,
man, look, I was in public school and it was not only popping. But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
By the time I got out of elementary school and made it up to high school, I was that dude. I was the class clown, the funny guy, the witty guy. I was a big guy.
Yep.
But, you know, I was, you know, one of those dudes, you know. So it got to be, and that's what I was just known for. I was known for talking about people. So people would come around and gather around. And they would be like, hey, what's up, kid? They try to get on your side because they don't want to be the victim of the jokes.
That's right.
That's what it turned out to be. But yeah, elementary school was rough for a couple of years until I got myself together. But outside of that, and you just really, that was one of the things that as I got older and me and my wife started to have kids, I didn't want my sons to go through. So we did everything in our power to keep them off that road of going down that road of being overweight, because it just runs in the family, and it runs in Black families a lot. Obesity runs, and that's because of, and it's not nobody's fault. And why I say that, because it's the ignorance behind the foods, because you got to think our generations that were before us, they had to get it how they live, and they weren't properly taught on the foods that we were eating, because guess what? They was table scraps.
Yeah.
It was the leftover stuff. That's why pork and everything is so prevalent in Black foods and cooking them in the vegetable stuff, because that was what we had to use for seasoning, because this is what they gave us. They gave us the table scraps.
Mm-hmm. We are so mindful of that with our kids. You know, some of the things that we have incorporated in our diet, our kids definitely are incorporated in theirs. So
it literally is a running joke. I'm like, my po baby don't even know he on a bariatric diet. Like, he's obsessed. He has no idea what a regular popsicle tastes like, because when I had surgery, and that I was eating sugar-free popsicles, so that's what he was eating. Instead of drinking Kool-Aid, you getting them zero-calorie squeezers for a juice. So they, like, you know, they're not missing out.
They don't know no difference.
They don't, right. And my daughter is older, but, you know, she's one, you know, she can tell you it. I like this, I don't. But she's very much if I was drinking it, I want to try it too. So I'm like, okay, drink, put the squeezer in this water and see if you like it.
And that's what you kind of got to do. And with us, you know, I didn't have the surgery until I was in my 40s, and my kids were almost grown. Well, one of them was, because we got three boys. But what we did incorporate was better choices for them, because we knew the pattern of both sides of the family. You know, we lost grandparents early because of a grandfather. I lost my grandfather early at 51. It was morbidly obese. And congestive heart failure, you name it, he had it. And just so on and so on. Uncles over here, aunts, just different relatives, cousins. And we all get together at the family reunion, and it's sad, really, because we're all, you know, you got so many overweight people, and we've got to break these generational curses, is what I call them, and educating each other on how to eat. So what we did with the boys, we kept them active. We put them in the sports very early, and they became athletes. And that was important, because we didn't just let them sit around and play video games all day.
Mm-hmm.
Putting fork to mouth and eating, because that's so easy to do.
This day and age, yes, that is what the kids, because that's one thing with us, you know, we're in our 30s, wasn't no iPad, no I mean, I guess it was video games, but you know what I'm saying? I was very much, can I go outside? I loved being outside and being active with my friends because I didn't have, you know, the luxury of an iPad or, I didn't even really have my desktop computer didn't come along till, I feel like, when did desktops come out?
Ninth grade, but you couldn't come in like the summertime. You weren't allowed to come into the street light. Like you had to stay outside.
You wanted to. Yeah.
Look, I'm a '70s baby. I grew up in the '80s. Outside was the video game. We was ready to go outside. We couldn't wait. And if we was in trouble and on punishment, we looking out the window at all our friends like we in
Yeah.
We sick because we can't go outside. So that's what's missing from these children and their childhoods today. They have so many we like to say things. And when I say things, they got the cell phones. Yep. They got the iPads. They have the laptops. You know, they got the headphones, video games, big TVs, the whole nine. They have so many distractions to keep them from even going out to get fresh air.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know how it is when they finally do have to go outside. It's like, man, it's too hot. Wow, how long we got to be out here?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And it's just
unfortunate. We didn't choose, you know, I didn't go through all this to make sure I could be here, you know, for my daughter. But to sit in the house, Now that I done lost the weight, let's go outside. Let's take a walk. Mm-hmm. Let's get on a bike. I'm trying to figure out anything because I feel better. So I want to be more active with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something, definitely a non-scale victory that I didn't even realize. The get up and go that I have now is, I'm always asking my baby, what you want to do? Where you want to go? We can walk to we don't live that far from the mall. Let's walk to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I would have jumped in the car for, and it's hot right now. Put on your shoes. Let's go for a walk.
Yeah, it's hot as hell here in Georgia, and that's another thing too. The whole thing with the non-scale victories. Some of the things that we're able to do now that we weren't able to do. Yeah, let's kind of jump into that a little bit. What are some of the things that you mentioned? Just being able to just have that bounce to get up and walk and go to the mall and stuff like that. Some of the things that we've taken for granted for so many years. I know I've got plenty that I'm enjoying right now.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit on our very first episode, but a big one for me is traveling and not going over in the seat or having an extender for a seatbelt and just being able to get on the airplane and as a normal size person versus being embarrassed about it. Or even like feeling confident enough to work out in group settings. Brittany has always been a workout person. Like, any day you catch her in a class, regardless of what size she's ever been. But that was never me. Like, I wasn't going in a group setting. I definitely wasn't. A huge one for me is taking pictures. It's hard to find pictures of me. It's like I work for the FBI, the CIA. Like, they're non-existent. It's so hard for me. Or it was just on my face. A selfie with the right angles. You couldn't see not a full body picture. So I think that, like, having that confidence to do that has been huge for me.
And absolutely. I love the fact that a lot of the workout classes that I do are they're not afraid to show plus big people working out. You think that you can only, you know, do a sit up or a push up if you're just, you know, small, but the classes that I go to, the trainers that I work with, they'll show, you know, the last trainer I had, she showed me, this was pre-surgery, but we're in the gym and she's showing me bear crawling, you know, back and forth in the gym. And I didn't think anything of it. She was like, I got so many comments on her IG post of me bear crawling but that's something that I like. It was hard, but I've always been that person. Like, no matter what size, you tell me to do it, I'm gonna try it. So I love that I can do those workouts, you know, hold a plank a little longer, sit up a little bit better, you know, have better form. I do some of those things. I've noticed that I can do a lot better when I'm working out, or a lot longer, or not feel as much pain. But I've always been, no matter what size you are, usually workout classes are so inclusive. I've never been to anyone where I felt intimidated that I was the biggest person there, but I have definitely worked out and been the biggest person in the class. And I'm like, I'm gonna keep up with you. You doing 100 jumping jacks? I'm gonna try my best to do 100 too. But I love that feeling of being able to work out and not feel as winded as fast.
That's a great point that you made, Britt, about, because I used to do boot camps and everything before I had the surgery, just trying to make a way to lose the weight. But every time that I was there, people were more than accommodating to me when I was really in a shell and embarrassed. I didn't want all eyes on me. I would come in and go to the back of the class. And when I was doing this boot camp, sometimes we would have to go outside and run. And people would always, you know, cheer me on. Hey, you good? You all right? Keep going. You know, we proud of you. So there are decent people out here in this world. Yeah. And I've always got my guard up. I think the worst first. And even now.
Me too. I'm with you. You are guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly. Yep. I'm like, what the hell are you looking at? And I'm like, hey, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm over here doing these jumping jacks and shit. I'm like, that bastard over there laughing at me. He think, you know, and it probably ain't got nothing to do with me. Right. But that's just how you think. You think that people are judging you already because it's just the nature of overweight people, what we have to endure. And that's just
it's a defense mechanism.
Right. That's the word I'm looking for. It's your defense mechanisms are already up. As soon as I walk in the door, I got the mean mug. What the hell are you looking at? Don't come over here talking to me. Mm-hmm. We ain't got shit to talk about. You go over there and warm up. I'm going to warm up way back here. And don't
bother. But you know, it's another thing. You never know if you're, so this is day one for us at the workout class, but you, that person, somebody next to you could be on their day 100. So they might have started off where you at, but you never, because I've had people, you know, doing boot camps and we have to do, like, it was a sit up and like a punch. And I'm like, the trainer was crazy, so we had to do 50. Everybody else done. She like, no, you gonna finish yours. And another girl got on the floor with me. She like, I'm doing with you. I'm like, but you done. She like, no, I'm with you. And she got on the floor and she did them with me. So you never know where the person who might be next to you, they could have came from the same weight or heavier as you.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. Yeah, we just gotta kind of let our guards down a little bit until you show me otherwise. That's kind of how I am now. I let my guard down a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I still kind of look at your side eye. We're like, what's your hidden agenda? Now, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. And even now, you kind of really think that you're just like, okay, prime example, I had a non-scale victory last night that wouldn't really be, most people would be like, huh? But it was a non-scale victory to me because I have never went up in the attic and changed out the air filter in the air conditioning.
That's a big deal, though. I could see how that could be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, and I was paranoid because I'm still thinking that I'm going to break these damn steps going up, you know, because you know you got to pull the string down and let the ladder out. So I'm like, this ladder ain't really that sturdy in my mind, even at the weight that I, even at 230 pounds. I'm like, hell no, this ladder ain't sturdy. In my mind, I'm still 461 going up. And then when I get up there, all I saw was my big ass falling through the roof. But then I'm like,
goodbye.
Yeah. And so I'm up there, and it's like everything has got to be so difficult. So I kind of fixed it to where I didn't have to really go all the way across. I could lean over being tall and kind of pull the filter out. So I pulled the filter out with ease, but then it gave me hell going back in. And I think it was a way of making me conquer that fear because I ended up having to walk all the way over to it and take it out and physically put it in. I was so pissed because all I kept thinking was I'm going to fall through this floor. And if you've ever sat in them old plastic chairs that break when you kind of like sitting, you sitting, but in a standing position almost. If you get ready to crack, you can already hop up.
You can jump up.
Yeah. So I'm tense like this up in this attic because I'm like, I don't want to fall through. You know, I'm paranoid of falling through. And then you're already upstairs, and then you're even higher. So it's really like a third floor.
Right.
And yeah, I came down, but I did it. And my wife was like, oh, I'm so proud of you because you've never done that. You always had to have somebody else to do it. So yeah, it's crazy. And it's just small stuff like that. I mean, those are victories that we should really celebrate.
That's right. Agreed.
No matter what, no matter how small it is or how minute somebody else might think it is, that was huge for me because all these years, I have never done it. Somebody else has always done it.
Mm-hmm. Not you. Right.
Because mm-hmm. back in the day, I would have not even probably made it up because I probably would have broke the ladder going up. Or if I, even if I got up there, I would have probably fell through the roof.
You know, those small things I feel like are so significant, though. Like, we love the big thing, you know, like Sam said, traveling is, but that's not something you do every day. It feels good to be able to just navigate the world.
Right.
Not as big, you know, those small things.
Tying your shoe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being able to bend over and tie your shoe.
Without flipping over, without my big head taking me over, doing a cartwheel and being out of breath.
Or not having to bring the shoe up, because I'm good for bringing the shoe to me. I can go down to the shoe. That's something different too.
Man, look, I would put my dirty foot up on a chair or something, on the couch to tie it up without having to bend over.
Yeah, bend over.
Or either that, or if you would get down there to tie it up, you'd have tied it to the side, so now your shoestring might come untied because your shoestrings touch it because
both shoes touch it. Love that you know this world, yes.
And people that have never experienced this or don't have these problems aren't really aware of how many doors are closed and locked to overweight people because of position that we've put ourselves in. Not to say that we're blaming anybody because they never experienced that, but when you see somebody out and they seem like they overjoyed with a simple task that you like, man, they excited about it. You just don't know. That might be a non-scale victory for somebody. So don't rain on their parade because they happy that they accomplished it, they did something.
Agreed,
I totally agree with that.
It's just mind-blowing that some of the things that I say regular people now that we're considered to be out of the realm, going to be regular people, take for granted that to us, I mean, it's huge to be able to go and jump on a roller coaster with your kids or just being able to run, feeling okay with going to the pool. Because you already know, coming out to the pool, they looking at you like, oh, if they jump in, do a cannonball, all the water coming out.
All the water going out the pool.
Were you a guy that swam? Did you put on a shirt when you went to the pool?
I never went to the pool without a shirt on. You ain't finna see these titties. You ain't finna talk about these titties. Hell no. I got on my shirt.
Yeah.
And I probably had a wife beat on up under there to compress the boobs because it wasn't finna be no wet t-shirt contest.
That's right. I understand. Yeah. I can remember being a kid putting a shirt over. And I'm like, man, I just being insecure because that's nothing. I would never do that now, you know? I mean, even pre-surgery, but you know, you just so insecure with your body, especially being a kid that's heavier. Mm-hmm. So that was comfortable to me. But I'm like, you a kid, nobody cares.
I think probably the only time that I didn't wear a shirt to the pool. My dad's brother, my uncle, he has a pool in his backyard. And if I was over to my uncle's house and it was just immediate, you know, family like that, then I probably would be out there with no shirt on.
Okay.
But going to the public pool or a pool party or something like that, nah, B. You going to the water park? Hell no, I got a shirt on. I got pictures out there right now with me and my kids. We was at a water park with my sons, and I got on a muscle shirt. But my arms was the only thing that was out. But I got a muscle shirt on. I would buy swimming trunks and color coordinate. You know,
your shirt?
I would have my shirt to match. I'm cool. That's how it was. But the thing was that I wouldn't be the only guy out there like that. It would be several guys out there. And it would be smaller guys that's got shirts on, and I didn't understand why. But so I would blend in and feel okay with it, you know.
Right. Because no matter how small you are, I know it might be a big thing for men too, but with women, we're so critical of our body. You know, everybody has something, even if you are a size 2. Everybody got something where they feel insecure about.
Absolutely. And it's like you said, Sam, earlier with the whole thing with social media and the standards that are placed out in front of us, we feel like we got to, you know, meet this bar. And every day that bar gets raised and it's so high, it's just unattainable.
Yes, that's what it is, unattainable, because it's not real.
It's not realistic either. Because also, it's like, you know, these people, the Kardashians and all the people, they got millions of dollars. They got chefs. They got plastic surgeons on deck. Like, it's not, if you rip away all of that, I've seen a comparison of, what's the youngest one? Kylie? Throwback Kylie and current Kylie, and they were like, no, not Kylie. Which one is it?
She's the youngest. She's the baby.
That's the youngest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, with the billionaire. Yeah. And they're like, money will change everything. Yeah, it will. That makes you money and filters. They have so many more opportunities. So the what we view as beauty is not what the average Joe Schmo can realistically attain. That don't, it don't make sense.
Right. Right. Absolutely right. They have all this disposable money income to be able to do those things where the average person will never be able to do that.
No.
But it won't stop them from trying to. And then you really have to think about it, because that's a part of their brand and building their brand. And building
1,000%.
Now I've got this makeup line. I've got these spandex, these clothes, these workout gear that you're going to buy. And I'm going to continue to make money. And you're going to continue to help me support my habit of everything that I'm doing to, you know, beautify myself, to make me what you see.
Right. Yep.
And we help continue to help them do that instead of just having confidence within self and believing in yourself and accepting, be more accepting of where you are and doing whatever you can do to accentuate, but being comfortable with where you are, like you are, Sam. And I think that's important for anybody. That's
is there a male version? Like the Kardashian, of course, is our, you know, I don't want to say bodyguard, but maybe our arch nemesis. But who is there? A male version of, you know, like something that men just, that's a fake standard for men?
Well, I wouldn't say as a form of like saying like it would be like the Kardashians, but men, of course, there are, or you gotta really think about it. When men sit back and hear women talk about certain people on, or certain men on television, like The Rock, for example, hell, who wouldn't want to be chiseled like this dude? And it's and I don't think that he's out here perpetrating a front, or, you know, he's just a guy that's a chiseled physique that has put in a lot of time and work into building that body. Men have stuff like that that's in front of us, or this guy who's got the six pack, or so many guys, you know, the Mark Wahlbergs of the world, or the Chris Hemsworth, all these guys that play all these action heroes and stuff like that. That's the type of thing that men look up and be like, you know, I don't hold a candle to this guy because I'm sitting over here with this spare tire and this guy got this, you know, this six pack, or I got a keg of beer over here. I don't have a six pack. You can get them some of this keg of beer, love. But I think that's probably the gist of it.
Okay.
We kind of, you know, you could become envious of this, especially if your girl like checking him out, or, you know, that's where you kind of draw the line. But now if she's checking out Joe Schmo next door, then that's a whole different ball game.
A whole nother problem. Correct. Okay.
A whole nother problem. Now we, you know, I'm like, all right, so you really looking at this cat over here. And you look at The Rock all day. I know damn well you ain't got a snowball chance in hell with this. I ain't worried about The Rock.
The neighbor, that's close to home.
Or Peter at the gym who keep trying to help you on this machine over here, who cut like a, you know, he cut almost like The Rock. Then now, hell no, we got a problem here.
Right.
That's different. It's crazy, but yeah, that's different. It's different. I mean, but men go through some of the similar things. I think it's some similarities there. And I get it. And that's just, you know, where it is. So going forward, we've got the podcast, the Hold Up Weight podcast, and I definitely commend you and applaud you for stepping up and being another voice, another beacon of light in the community. I know we're just getting started. You started in a great month, by the way. It's Black Music Month. I've been preaching this since the beginning of the month. You're going to see that a lot on my stories. I'm a huge music guy. And then Juneteenth is coming up as well, which is another significant date in history. I mean, it's a date in history that we, you know, a lot of people look at it like we're celebrating it. But in my opinion, it's more of a day of remembrance of, hey, this is where it was. And it was really a tragic situation. And so, yeah, and that's kind of where we are. So I think you started in a great month, a historic month. And hats off to you and kudos to you for doing it. So what can we expect from the Hold Up Weight podcast?
We are coming with, you know, more the first couple episodes is really just me and Sam kind of talking about navigating our way through this journey. But for us, we really want to get into talking to other people who have not only went through VSG, but, you know, because we're two Black women, we want women to know you don't have to choose VSG. You just have to choose health. So whatever that might look like for you, we really want to talk to, we have someone coming on that's really going to talk about just loving the body that you're in, body positivity. We just, like I said, we want to make sure that people are choosing health. So it's not going to be, every episode is not going to just be VSG. And we're going to bring people in who, for me, like I said, changing my mindset was really important. So people that can help you navigate through, you know, like a psychologist, someone who can talk about changing your space, because all that was very important for me on this journey, knowing how to navigate going through life after having weight loss surgery was important, but the mindset had to change. Because even, you know, once you're done, once you're a couple weeks out, you can eat regular food. Like, you're not on liquids forever. So knowing how to navigate that and changing your mindset, and however you decided to lose weight, whether it's, you know, talking to trainers and finding out, how do you feel about training someone who's had surgery? Because that's something that I don't know if people, you know, is that something you feel like your client should tell you off back? Because usually they ask, you know, well, what are your, do you have bad knees? Do you have a bad back? No one really asks, well, did you have surgery? You know, does that change how you train that person if you know that they're only intaking so many calories? So we just want to kind of talk to different people that's helping people navigate the world as they embrace their new selves.
It's really about how can you be holistic, mind, body, soul, is, you know, across the board. What does that look like for, how are we tackling all those? And it's some fun stuff. Like, you know, we mentioned talk about dating, and it, we want it to be, when you listen to us, it's like you're listening to your friends. We want you to come in, be part of our crew, is really what it boils down to. And let us be a part of your journey.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's definitely what it's all about. And I, like I said, my hat's off to you for taking that leap of faith and jumping into this realm and being that beacon of light for people out here. Now, where can the people that are listening, that who don't know where to find the Hold Up Weight podcast, find you at on all facets of social media? Where can they find the podcast, and where can they find you two individually?
For the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Hold Up Weight Podcast, and weight is spelled W-E-I-G-H-T. And I am Britt. You can follow me on Instagram as well at Lovely919.
And I'm Sam. You can follow me on Instagram at LovinMe0723, L-U-V-I-N-M-E 0723. And then you can find the podcast on all major platforms.
Yep. Just type in Hold Up Weight. You'll find us. Make sure you spell weight, W-E-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. Make sure you spell that right. We're not saying Hold Up Weight like it didn't stop. We're talking about this weight.
That's
it. That's what it is, man. Hey, y'all heard it first on the Sleep Believe the Hype podcast. Y'all make sure y'all go show the ladies some love, follow them individually, and definitely check out the podcast. Follow the podcast on IG and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're getting your podcast fixed. That is very important for people like us that are out here making our way with these podcasts, because we need to know the feedback. We want to know if it's great. We want you to subscribe to it, because that keeps us, you know, the listenership up. It shows that we're making some progress, that people are actually enjoying the content that we're listening to. And then once you subscribe, and if you're liking what you're hearing, then share it with people. And also, what's another thing that's important, like especially with Apple, you can go on and rate podcasts. That's important. Yeah. That's how we get the proper feedback to know if we're doing a good job or a bad job, because people will tell you. I do ratings all the time. I go to restaurants and stuff, good or bad. I'm going to say,
right.
Hey,
yeah,
this is what it was. So that's how we get better. You know, we find out what you want. Also reach out and say, hey, this is what we want to hear more of. So that's just the way to do it. And then last but not least, share it. Make sure you share it with other people who could benefit from it. And that's all that we can ask. And definitely, Sam and Britt, I have really enjoyed chopping it up with you ladies. I had a ball, and yeah, got some good laughs in, and we also got some words of wisdom out here. So other people who are on this journey or about to, might be on the fence about taking this journey, can have some food for thought and some more things they can add to consideration. So for that, I definitely say thank you both.
Yeah, we are. We fangirling right now. You don't understand.
Yes.
We were so excited.
And this is our very first interview for a podcast. So you popped our podcast cherry. We appreciate it.
We so happy. But to be you, a Black man, you don't understand.
Changing life really, is amazing.
Because we were fans before we were hauled up weight. So we really appreciate it.
Look, I appreciate you both. And when I saw what you were doing, I was definitely on board. And then I had to go and listen to that first podcast. I was like, hey, they on it. And this is what we need. Because it's almost like, you know, I really don't know if any other Black people, period, that are doing a podcast. It could be that I might have not have just seen them. But the community that I vibe with, I haven't seen any. So when I saw you ladies, I was like, look, man, I got to get them on. We got to talk about this and then just share your journeys. And then that's what it's all about. It's about each one, teach one. And that I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't, because I don't want to be out here like I'm at the top of the pile over here and I'm the end all be all, because no, I'm not. I learn more from other people than people, I think, than people probably could possibly learn from me. And that is important to us on this journey and being able to teach somebody else. That's more important than anything, because we're going to always continuously learning. Nobody has all the answers.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need you both. We need you both out here for these sisters out here, because, yeah, it's tough. It really is tough. And I see so many, and I get DMs a lot about a lot of issues that a lot of people are dealing with. So I try to touch on a lot of them, but being a Black male, I can't hit all of them, the things that the women need.
Right.
So you ladies are definitely needed for the sisters out here. So for that, I say thank you. And to everybody that's out here listening, man, y'all make sure y'all go follow my girls, man. For real. Don't be playing with it. I'm going to find out. I'm going to come and follow up and see if you follow them, if you rock with me, if you rock with them too, because we all family up in here. That's what it's all about. And in closing, this is your man, Sleep Believe the Hype. I'm Ked. You can find me at Sleep Believe the Hype on IG. I just introduced something to the podcast just yesterday. I signed up for Patreon. I guess I'm saying that right. That's a new thing for me. So I'm going to make time to where you can get exclusive access to me and exclusive access to some other content. So if you're listening to the podcast, go find me on Patreon. Just go to Patreon and hit Sleep Believe the Hype podcast. There I'll be our pop-up. So you've got different levels, different tier levels of being a patron of mine. And every level has something different to offer. It's just all in what you want. And you get the extreme VIP, and that extreme VIP comes with some one-on-one times, some tutorials, video, you know, whatever I can do to help that normally people would get for, you know, development training. So that's right. a new facet for me that I'm adding to my portfolio. And hopefully, hey, we can do some big things with it. But outside of that, you can find the podcast on all major platforms, wherever you get your podcast fixed. You can find me on social media. There's a YouTube channel. I'm still working some kinks out. We're trying to throw videos over there. I never have enough time. So that's the thing, trying to add, you know, more and more to my repertoire and just do more things. Just kind of all over the place. Got a brand. But it's going to all come together and it's going to come out in the wash. So that's what I'm telling you. So until next time, yo, y'all come holler at your boy. This your boy, Ked. I'm signing off with the ladies of the Hold Up Weight podcast, saying peace.
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 Yo, go follow your boy on Instagram at Sleeve Believe the Hype. And you can find the podcast on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, like, and share it, and leave your boy some feedback too while you're at it. Thanks for enjoying the ride. Peace.